church, and it's good to be back with you again virtually, and hopefully as the Lord blesses again personally in the near future. I want to continue our study in the book of Psalm today, and I want to deal with Psalm 119 beginning in verse 49, if you want to follow along in your Bible. And I want to talk about a hope in God's Word. The psalmist here, David, talks about hoping in God's Word. In fact, he's talking about trusting the promises of God. His hope in a time of trouble or distress is found in God's Word. He said that's where he found his hope to continue in that difficult time. Now, we might not think normally before the current pandemic came along, we might not think much about having to put our hope in God's Word or a time of distress. But I think we've all been reminded lately of how important it is. You see, when troubles come along, I was thinking about it this week, when troubles come along, people typically want to know three things. And we find these in the Bible. Number one, they want to know an answer. If trouble or difficulty comes along, distress comes along, something that upsets our life, we're looking for a solution. Where did it come from? Why am I going through this? That's a question that often gets asked. Why am I having to endure this? We want answers. We want to know what the future holds. We want to know what's going to happen. In fact, many times we're looking in that answer for a remedy to the situation. And what David says here in this passage when we get into it is God has the answer. Many times God is the answer. And our hope in the future and how a situation will be solved or played out is in God's hands. And as his children, we know the answers in God. But the world looks for answers. And secondly, people not only look for an answer to a situation or why is this thing happening, but they also want comfort in the midst of that situation. They want some assurance. They want some level of confidence that everything's going to turn out okay, some level of assurance that things will return to what we perceive as normal. They want some kind of encouragement in that time of distress. So they not only want the answer, they want the encouragement. Again, God is the answer. God's word is the answer. His promises are the answer, or the solution, if you will. And then the comfort comes from God. So when David will say, "I trust in your promises," much as we do today, we're finding our comfort in God. We're finding our encouragement in God. Now, the world, think about it for a moment. The world's looking for comfort from political leaders. They're looking for comfort from doctors and scientists who are looking for a solution to this pandemic. And that's okay. I mean, we can look to those experts and we can listen to political leaders and we can say, well, they're working hard to help us or to help the country. But the fact is, our real comfort comes from God, because you and I know, as born-again believers, nothing happens. Nothing comes to us in this life that God isn't sovereign over it, and he loves us. And so God has our best interest at heart. So answers to the problem, comfort to the problem. And then finally, unfortunately, sometimes people look for distractions to a problem. That's going on today. They want to get their mind off of the trouble. They want to get their mind off of the difficulty. They want to look for something to entertain them. And we see that day. I was looking up some things this week. Alcohol use, drug use, and immorality, pornography, and those things. The use of all those things are up statistically. If you look that stuff up online, all the statistics show that during this pandemic, people are turning to these distractions. They're turning to things. I was thinking of a Billy Joel song, probably not the best song to think of, but Billy Joel wrote a song called The Piano Man. Some of you remember the songs from 1973, and part of the lyrics in that song are this: "It's a pretty good crowd for a Saturday, and the manager gives me a smile, because he knows that it's me they've been coming to see, listen to this, to forget about life for a while." Unfortunately, when trouble comes, instead of turning to the promises of God's word, people turn to vices, and they turn to things in life they think will make it better, but it only makes it worse. And they're just looking to numb their senses to the trouble that they're in or the pressure. One writer said, in the midst of the COVID-19 epidemic, it has become easier to buy alcohol than toilet paper. That's kind of funny, but it's true. I saw one statistic this week, and one area of alcohol use, it's up 53% in the last 6 weeks, 53%. So what does the Bible say about all this? When trouble comes, trouble came for David, for the psalmist. Yes, did he look for answers? Yes. Do we need comforting? Do we need encouragement? Yes. Sometimes do we need to take our mind off of the thing? I would encourage you, by the way, don't watch the news all the time. Don't sit in front of the TV. It's repetitive and it can be depressing. Don't watch the news. Watch the highlights of things that are happening, but spend time trusting God. Don't find your distraction in the news or in some other thing. So what's the biblical worldview? Let's take just a minute, a few minutes here, and think about the biblical worldview that the psalmist gives us here in dealing with issues, and our trust should be in the Word of God. Look at verses 49 and 50 of Psalm 119. Now David says here, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The first thing David said, he said, God, my hope is in your promises. No matter what's happening in the world, no matter how things are going, my hope, my assurance, my rest, my encouragement is in your words, in your promises. Now, why is that? Because God never fails to do what he said. God will never go back on his word. God will never fail to do what he promises. And God has told us throughout the New Testament that we are his, we're his redeemed, that he loves us, and he's going to take care of us. Now, that doesn't guarantee we won't get sick. That doesn't guarantee nothing bad will ever happen to us. But what it does guarantee is that if God, in his sovereignty, so chooses to allow one of his children to go through a difficulty, he's going to walk with us through it, and there's not a hopelessness to it. So David said, God, I'm going to find my encouragement in your word. And then he said here, this is my comfort in affliction. One of the things that human beings hate the most is uncertainty in the future. Man, that is a thing that drives us nuts, because we like to be in control. And so David says here, Lord, when I am in this affliction, when my time and events that confront me are uncertain, he said, you're going to be my peace and you're going to be my calm. Loved ones, I would encourage you today to find your peace and your calm in God's promises, in who he is, because his word is a reflection of his character. God is not going to fail us. God is not going to leave us without help and without encouragement. And David said, Lord, I find my help and my peace in you and in your word, even in time of affliction. We can take this kind of encouragement today. I was reminded of some of the promises of God. One of my favorite passages is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. You probably know them well. Let me just read them to you very quickly. The Apostle Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You could say who or what, because the list here is a who or what list. Who or what can separate us from the love of Christ? And then Paul lists, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He said, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Listen to this. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul said, these things can't separate us from God. No pandemic, no disease. Death cannot separate us from God. Should we catch a disease and God take us home through that venue, it cannot separate us from God. Paul goes on to say, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor power nor things present nor things to come nor heights nor depth or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul, listen, David said, I take comfort in your word. I take comfort in your promises. Beloved, we need to do that today. Let me give you some thoughts, three things to remember that we can draw comfort from. Number one, God is sovereign. Number one, God is sovereign. Nothing is going to happen that God doesn't oversee it. Now, God allows things to happen in this world. God's not the author of sin, but God is sovereign, and he's sovereign over your life and mine. If you're a child of God, you belong to him. You're in his family, and God is sovereign over your life. Number two, God has a purpose for everything that he allows. As I just said, God's not the author of sin. Sin is in the world because because of man. Adam failed, and sin is in the world because of us. The consequences of sin, all the negative aspects of life, we are to blame for that. God's not to blame for that. God's not the author of sin. Yet God, in his sovereignty, can move in world events, even among pandemics, to bring glory to himself. Think about this for a moment. This thing that we're going through now, this pandemic, the fact that we can't meet corporately for some number of weeks or a month and a half, or however long this turns out to be, does it not have some positives to it? Sure it does. It's making us move outside of our comfort zone. Maybe it is the fact that it's taken the Christians who like to huddle together in their churches and moved us out into the community where you have to talk to your neighbors and you have to talk to your friends and you stay home. I could sit here and think of a lot of things that we could draw as positives from this. And part of it is, even in our virtual reach, if you will, our outreach to the church, to the community from the church, we are now, because we're recording so many messages and because we're live streaming, we're moving from just live streaming on our website to live streaming on Facebook Live starting this week, and live streaming not only on our website but on YouTube and other sources. So what I'm telling you, loved ones, is even though we don't like this time, God has the ability to multiply it. And who knows how many lives we'll be able to touch with the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just in our gathering here in our Bible studies and gathering in our times of worship three times a week and in our programs and our children's programs, which we will continue as soon as we can meet together again. But think now of how much more we have been made aware of how to reach out to the world and the community, and because the world now is reaching and gaining its information, how many more people will we be able to meet as a normal way of life through the virtual world of the internet. So there are goods there. So God's sovereign. God has a purpose in all things. And then finally, nothing happens to us that's not common in the world. There have been other pandemics in life. The worst pandemic in human history happened in the 1300s. It was the bubonic plague. And if I remember the numbers right from my history lessons, nearly 50% of all the people who lived in Europe died in the 1300s from bubonic plague. Nearly 50%. One historian said it took 200 years for the population to recover in Europe. So this pandemic is nothing new to humanity. It's common. But the Bible promises in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God said, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And God went on to say, he will not allow us to be tempted or tried or tested above that we are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. So we can trust God. David said, Lord, I find my peace and my comfort in your promises. Let us do the same today. And then David said, Lord, your word gives me life. Gives me life. The last thing he said there in verse 50, it is life to me. It's easy in times of distress, in times of discomfort, in times of anxiety or uncertainty to go into a depression or to be depressed. I saw an article this morning that depression has skyrocketed and that people are feeling lonely. Oh, listen, if you know Jesus Christ, you're never alone. If you have brothers and sisters in Christ, you have but to reach out in a phone call or reach out to someone whom you think is alone. See, God's word is the answer. That's where we find life. That's where we find confidence and peace, is in God's word. Now, David here, the psalmist, moves from speaking of my hope is in your word to how do I deal with personal attacks. He even takes it to a point where people have attacked him for his faith. Look at verse 51. He said, the proud have me in great derision. The proud have me in great derision. Yet I do not turn aside from your law. Now, it's interesting that David would say the proud have me in derision. He's speaking of lost people. He's speaking of people who don't like God or are opposed to God, unbelievers. Now, it's interesting that he uses the word proud to describe them. Listen very carefully. Most lost people in the world today are lost because of their pride. Their sin makes them lost, but they retain their sin because of their pride and their refusal to humble themselves and come to Jesus Christ. Now, there are people in the world who are lost out of a level of ignorance of the truth. perhaps they've not been presented with a clear explanation of the gospel, but the vast majority of people know what it takes. They know about sin. They've heard about Jesus, but in their pride, they refuse God. In their pride, they refuse God's offer of salvation. Here it is. A person will never be saved unless they humble themselves. They will never come to Christ unless they humble themselves, listen, to admit and confess their sin. And if you're watching today and you're not saved, unless you're willing to humbly admit to God that you're a sinner and that you need saving, you'll never get saved. You have to humbly admit your sin. You have to, with humility, say to God, I'm willing to turn away from my sin. That takes self-control and self-humility for God to move in, for us to say, God, I'm not on the throne of my life. You can be on the throne of my life. So humility to confess our sin, humility to turn away from our sin, and then humility to get on our knees, as it were, either physically or metaphorically in our heart, and say to God, God, please save my soul, because I can't save myself. Pride keeps people from Jesus Christ. And David said, the proud have come after me. They have scorned me. They have grieved me. And David said, Lord, I'm going to find my comfort in you. Now, does that happen to us today? Well, it does. You see, the lost world's at enmity with God. The lost man's at enmity with God. That means strife. If you and I, listen to this now, if you and I are walking with Christ, if in our process of sanctification, we are growing in sanctification and we are looking more like Jesus every day, the world will grow to hate us more every day because they hate Jesus. The enmity, the strife that is between the lost man and Jesus will come upon us because we're a target that they can see. And so the lost world will attack us, and they'll attack us for several reasons. Number one, we remind them of their sin. If we are walking in holiness, if we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and are men and women of integrity, men and women who know God's word and who it pours out of our lives, and it's part of who we are, and the world looks at us and says, man, you're different. You must be one of those Christians. Then it's going to remind them that they need to be saved too. And they're going to be naturally anxious around us. And listen, the enmity will be there because they're convicted about their sin. Reminded of the sin, convicted about their sin, and they will reject us just like they rejected Jesus. I said this a week ago or a couple of weeks ago. Don't take it personal, okay? Don't let it be personal. Just trust Jesus. David said here, yet do I not turn aside from your law. Don't let the world sway us from following Jesus. Don't let the world browbeat us into doing anything but being Jesus followers. Stay true to his word. The world won't like it, and that's okay. But you stand true for your faith in Jesus Christ. I was reminded this week in the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm going to close. The proportion of people in the world that are saved to the lost is disproportionate. Vast numbers are lost, and relatively only a few are saved. Now, that's unfortunate. Jesus said that he would have all men to be saved. The Apostle Paul said God would have all men to be saved. God's heart's desire is to save all men. Jesus died so anybody can be saved who will come. Whosoever will may be saved. However, we know when we read the Bible that many will not be saved. Let me read you a passage in Matthew before we close about the reality of life today and our walk with Jesus and finding our comfort in him. Listen to what Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13-14. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide or broad is the gate, and broad is the way or wide is the road that leads to destruction. Listen to this. And there are many who go in thereat. Jesus said the way to hell, the way to destruction is wide. It's a big road, and the gate is this big arch, and it looks attractive, and multitudes go down that road. But then Jesus said, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. In this world, a multitude of people are lost, and unfortunately, it will always be that way. Because Satan has this broad road that looks attractive and the world runs to it and it leads to eternal death. Narrow is the way, small is the gate, a little narrow path, and it's difficult sometimes, uphill, difficult, rocky, treacherous, difficult in this life. But Jesus said in the end is life. Listen, in this world, if you walk that narrow path, if you walk that narrow road with Jesus, the world will see it and they'll not like you. But let me close with this. Number one, make sure you're on the narrow path. Make sure if you don't know Jesus Christ that you humble your heart, confess your sin, and ask Jesus Christ to save you today. And secondly, if you're on that narrow path and you're walking with Jesus, man, you stay on that path. You walk with Jesus. No matter what trouble comes, no matter what difficulties come, find your comfort in the promises of God. Find your comfort in the fact that you are a child of the King and nothing's going to happen to you in this life that God the Father doesn't let it happen. Nothing's going to happen to you that Jesus is not walking with you. Be encouraged today. Let your hope be in the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, if there's somebody who sees this video who is without Jesus Christ, may they humble their heart right now and pray by faith in Him to be saved. Father, those that are saved, my brothers and sisters, those part of Oakleaf Baptist Church, God, if they're troubled or distressed today, bring enormous comfort to their heart in your word. Lord, may they be encouraged today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you again soon.